Welcome to episode 4 of Vague and Unconvincing, a pop culture podcast. I'm your host, Wim, and thank you for joining me again. Now, last week, we talked about the first episode of The Alienist, and after seeing the second episode, my thoughts kind of remain unchanged. I still don't think these characters are being portrayed the way they were originally written by Caleb Carr back in the day, but I did notice on IMDb that Roosevelt's character is only about 2 episodes, so that would take care of his character issues. I don't know, maybe he got some turn-of-the-century idea. Still watching, though, so I'm still excited about where the story is going. I don't quite remember the ending as it is right now, but I'm looking forward to see where they go with it. If they change it, if I notice that they change it or whatnot. I did, however, finish the Netflix series Dark, being called German Stranger Things. It does have a feel of Stranger Things, but in no way is it a ripoff. I really, really enjoyed this. I mean, you can watch it either English dubbed or watch it like I did. I watched it with, I spoke German, but I had the English subtitles. It kind of forced me to pay attention a little bit more. I love the plot, I love the characters, and I love the circles that it went into. Now, I don't want to ruin anything or give anything away. I just want you to watch it. I just want to say I really enjoyed it. So far, it's already been renewed for its second season, thankfully, because season one ends on kind of a cliffhanger. So, patience, Joan Skywalker. I also watched on Amazon the first episode of Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams. Now, by no means am I an intelligent man, but this made my head hurt. All the episodes are standalone, a la Dark Matter, if you've watched any of those episodes, so you can watch anyone at any time without ever getting lost on in an ongoing story. The first episode stars Terrence Howard and Anna Paquin. Like I said, my head hurts. I want to watch a few more episodes before I give any type of review on it, so stay tuned to future episodes. Now, the first episode I did watch, it was very faithful to something that Philip K. Dick had written. I have read a bunch of his books, including the original Blade Runner and stuff like that, and it certainly caught his feel. It feels like a Philip Dick type of thing. Now, in movies, Super Bowl Sunday is tomorrow. I'm recording this Saturday night from when I'm recording here, and we'll get our first look at Solo, a Star Wars story. Making StarWars.net is reporting that there'll be like a 30-second spot followed by a full trailer on Monday's Good Morning America. Call me excited, though. I really can't wait to see what comes of this and all the controversy. I need to see some images to go along with it. You know, it's been my opinion that Lord and Miller were ordered 66 because they were drastically departing from the original script. You know, the one written by that no-name Lawrence Kasdan and his son John Kasdan. Look, I liked the Lego movie, but I liked Empire Strikes Back a lot better, and as apparently so did Kathleen Kennedy. I just want to see some footage. I want to see how Alden Ehrenreich acts as Han Solo. It's weird that we haven't seen anything out of this movie, and it comes out in May. So you want to get the Last Jedi numbers up some more and put the trailer in front of it. We'll go see it. You know, there was also in the Star Wars news, kind of, but there was a really good discussion about adding expanded universe characters to I'll hopefully have Johnny Rice on from the Force Pod, and we can chat about it. He's one of the guys that I wanted to have on the show at some point. I threw my ideas at him, and we already did virtual high five, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also making the effort to kind of see all the Best Picture nominees for the Academy Awards. So far, I've seen The Shape of Water, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, and 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Right now, I'm at a juncture where if The Shape of Water wins Best Picture, Dunkirk should win Best Director, or vice versa. Shape of Water, which is just magnificently shot. But to me, Dunkirk, although lacking in a deep story, brought an intensity and an uneasiness through the entire film. The tension was present the entire movie. I was on the edge the whole time. If it doesn't win one, Christopher Nolan should certainly win the other. Kudos to Denis Villeneuve for his direction in Blade Runner 2049. That's probably more of a lock for cinematography, though. if you look at it for that standpoint. Guillermo del Toro knocked it out of the park with The Shape of Water. I enjoyed Darkest Hour, but let's face it, Gary Oldman stole the show. I've read an article where another actor, the name escapes me, described how it's easy to rely on the props of Churchill to pull off the performance, the cigar, the glasses, and whatnot. But Gary Oldman does none of that. You can't even tell it's him. It's absolutely brilliant. But, you know, I really didn't care that much for Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. When I was watching it, the particular scene where the priest visits Frances McDormand's character to try to talk her into removing the billboards, and she goes on to make reference about Catholic Church sex abuse and those in charge for allowing it are the same type, say, you know, equating it to what she's going through. It showed me that she was a lock for the best actress category. But is that her acting ability or is that great screenwriting? I think it's the latter. So I was more mesmerized by Sally Hawkins' performance in The Shape of Water as the deaf girl who you know, was dealing with the merman, I guess you'd say. Sam Rockwell doesn't win the Best Supporting Actor. That will be an Oscar pick. I've always enjoyed him, even in his concern, you know, worst movies. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I thought he was great in that. So I've always enjoyed his work, and hopefully he gets a win for that. I hope to see more, and who knows, my choices may change too. I want to see The Post. I'm not much of a scary movie fan, so Get Out will probably be the last on my list if the choice comes down to that. And so, you know, I'm going to work up to try to see them all. Also in movies, I'm eagerly awaiting the opening of Black Panther, and, you know, hopefully I'll be able to see that at some point. Now, in sports, I'm a hockey fan. So you think I'm excited for the All-Star game? I'm not. It's always dreadful. And it lived up to my expectations again. Super Bowl, it pits the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm recording this Saturday. And so, so tomorrow is a big game. I have to go to the hospital a little bit before, and then I'll be out and be able to watch it all. It'll be good. I know Philly has some really horrible fans, but I think I want Philly to win. War Eagle. Now it's time for my top five. Last week I did a top five movies, so this week I want to do top five TV series. And when I do my top five movies, I kind of banged out that list pretty quick. I kind of knew I knew Casablanca was one, I knew Star Wars was two. The other three, I just did a quick list and put them in order. But for television, I knew the top pick that I wanted, but the rest was going to be a bit of work. I mean, I had a whole bunch of ones and, you know, some honorable mentions here that are not in the top five that I did want to mention, which was first was ER. I really liked that show, Battlestar Galactica from 2004. Not that 70s abomination, but Dark. I just finished that, but that was really good. Stranger Things. My favorite show when I was in high school was Night Court. So Night Court's on there. Twilight Zone changed everything. And The Shield, which was another fantastic police procedural show. So we'll start. Here are my top five television series. Number five, Mystery Science Theater 3000. Now, when this first aired, my cable company here in Albany did not get Comedy Central. My sister, who lived in Detroit at the time, would VHS tape it and send them to me and my brother. I loved every bad minute of it. I still do. So number four is Daredevil. That hallway scene in the second episode, television magic, I tell you. Number three, The Wire. Great character. Great stories. Every season was just as strong as the previous. Spoilers, Omar's death. To Stringer Bell. Brilliant television, really. Number two, Game of Thrones. Now, rarely do movies or television adhere to the works they're adapted from. But they somehow exactly caught the essence of those books. I read the books before I saw the show, and, you could never predict who would live and who would die. And they stayed really true to George R. R. Martin's vision. And, how well done. It was close number two for that. But my number one pick for top television show, my top five, is NYPD Blue. Now, this show premiered on network television to full-on controversy in 1994, and that delivered every episode. Every episode pushed the boundaries of television at the time, from the naked butt theme to the police and the criminal personalities, and the stories itself contained in each episode. This show brought it's really my favorite. You can buy it on Amazon, but a few years back it was on Amazon Prime, and I just watched it again out of the blue, no pun intended. But it was just a strong first two or three seasons, still held up. This was, 20 years ago this happened. That is my top five for this week. Any suggestions, comments, how can I do better? Let me know. You can email us at vagueanduncomvincing@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/vagueanduncomvincing, or follow the show on Twitter. It's unvaguepod. And you can follow my personal account on Twitter also. I am The Whim, THEWHIN. As always, the show is sponsored by Stephanie's Country Candles and Port Country Candles and more. Visit us online at stephaniescountrycandles.com. That's Stephanies countrycandles.com. The intro music for the first two episodes was CP Time by Vernon Reed. And this episode and the previous episode had Green Day's Espionage from the Austin Powers soundtrack as the lead-in. Both songs are available on iTunes for your purchase, and the copyrights to those are owned by the person. The show schedule is still up in the air. I'm in my first week of the transplant process. I've had a week of chemotherapy, and so far I feel pretty good. Starting Monday, they'll put the stem cells back in, and I'll be under quarantine for about 3 months, depending on how I feel. If I'm up to it, you may hear a lot of content, but I just don't know. The hospital I go to at Albany Medical Center, they only start one new transplant patient each week. And the most heartbreaking thing is the transplant person behind me is a 13-year-old girl. So I'm 46, I believe 45 healthy years, without this, and nothing hurts me more than seeing this girl have to go through this. But she's a fighter, her dad's a fighter, her father's an amazing man, and we can do this. We can support each other. Maybe I'll try to get her on the show at some point. If you're a praying person, please put her in your prayers. If not, even kind thoughts go a long way. So I'm thankful for my friends and my family support. And the Star Wars community has been amazing. Twitter has been great. Follow me on Twitter. I'm very open about my cancer story. So let's engage. If you know anyone who needs some support and would like to bang heads together about it, please DM me. It means a lot to me, and it's good to know that, people follow. So, on the next show, I'd like to talk more about Electric Dreams, some solo trailer breakdown, and who knows what else. So hopefully I'll talk to you soon. I am The Whim. I am out. Take good care, guys.
You and I were friends from outer space. Afraid to let go, the only two who understood this place. And as far as we know, we were way before our time. As bold as we were blind, just another perfect mistake. Another bridge to take on the way to letting go. The same goodbye, is it just goodbye. As far as we know, the same goodbye.